I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Time of the week. It's Doggy Pod time. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Doggy Pod. I'm Stephen Peters here with
Dr. Rob Zanon,
and we are talking all things dogs.
Although this is somewhat a special episode because we're tackling the difficult subject of old age, and I find nothing more beautiful, Stephen, than an old dog, but it comes with its difficulties.
Yes, this could be an emotional episode for some of you, especially if you've recently had to say goodbye, which we all have to do, sadly, at some stage, to our four-legged mate.
And one of the things I want to address about with old age is Alzheimer's. Do dogs get that or not? And we also want to talk about pet insurance for your dog. And finally, I really am going to talk about the difficult subject. I often get asked, how do I know when it's the right time to put my old dog to sleep?
So do dogs just lie down and die of old age like humans do? Dr. Rob will talk us through just what's involved when that most difficult of times happens. Possibly one of the toughest decisions we'll ever have to make.
It's difficult for everybody, for the veterinary surgeon as well, and we try and guide people through in making that decision, Stephen. Very, very tough.
And our celebrity dog owner this week is legendary sports commentator and also known as The Voice, Mr. Ray Warren. But on the brighter side, if there is one in this episode, and there always is, our celebrity dog this week is a puggle named Boo Radley. And you'll find more about Boo a little bit later. But first, before we get into this, Rob, what's been happening at the clinic this week?
One of the strange things that it's happened before, many times to me, in fact, brought the dog in and he was drinking a lot. So the owners were correctly concerned that maybe this dog had some sort of kidney problem. But it wasn't that at all. This dog was a diabetic. And they said, what? And the reason they were sort of taken aback was they didn't know that dogs get diabetes.
I didn't know that either.
No. And the other weird thing is the owner had just been diagnosed with diabetes this week as well. And that's so common. You know, I'll often say, oh, your dog's got this problem. They say, oh, that's funny, I have too. And diabetes is one of those problems. I'll often say, your dog's a diabetic. And the owners often say, oh, so am I. And the problem with dogs, when they get diabetes, you can't just make dietary change and hope for the best, nor can you give them tablets. The tablets that we use to control diabetes and blood sugar in humans do not work in dogs. So the issue that you have is that you have to give injections. So what is diabetes? Well, it's when the hormone insulin in your body makes a hormone called insulin, becomes very low. And insulin is the hormone that, if you like, it opens the gate for every cell to allow glucose to go in. And so it feeds the cell its sugar, glucose, and the cells are happy. When there's not enough insulin, the glucose can't get into the cells. The cells feel a bit starved and the person gets hungry and they want to eat more and they put on weight. But it also makes them very thirsty because they've got this high blood sugar. They're drinking all the time. And eventually it'll affect little blood vessels as well in your brain and your kidneys. It causes a lot of issues with failure of organs. So with dogs, just like people, when they have low insulin and they're diabetics, they have to be supplemented. And the only way you can do that is by injection. So your veterinarian has to stabilize the dog with injections of insulin and then teach you how to give those injections. You have to be there once or twice a day to do that, to feed your dog the right sort of food, the right amount of food, and also give the right amount of injection to keep your dog alive and make him decrease that blood sugar that's hurting so many organs.
But is this type 2 diabetes or type 1 diabetes?
Well, it's type 1 diabetes because you've got no insulin. With type 2 diabetes, you can address that with tablets.
Yeah, and, dogs, and diet as well.
Yeah, dogs develop type 1 diabetes. There's special little cells in your pancreas. The pancreas is an organ that is near the small intestine attached to it, and it produces two types of enzymes. One type of enzymes is to help digest food. The other enzyme is insulin. And the cells in there called the islets of Langerhans can no longer produce enough insulin to sustain the body properly, so you have to supplement them. So it's type 1.
Okay, good to know. Now, our quiz question this week. This is a bit wacky, but which dog breed has a black tongue? A black tongue, is it a husky, a poodle, a Weimaraner, or a chow chow? Now, Rob knows the answer, but he's not going to tell us right now. You'll have to hang around for that.
Interestingly, I didn't realise until today that you don't know the answers to these questions.
Well, Rob, that's why you're here.
Okay, done deal.
I'm the mug punter. You're the veterinary surgeon. Now, firstly, I know we've always wondered these things, or I have anyway. Can dogs actually get a form of doggy Alzheimer's? And if they do, how would you even know?
Yeah. They get a thing, we call it cognitive dysfunction. Yeah, they're not quite aware of what's going on, and it's to do with old age.
Yeah, you see that in a lot of dogs with old age. Yeah,
and they'll often do things like in the middle of the night just start barking and wandering around barking. That's a common thing.
So that's a form of Alzheimer's.
Well, we call it cognitive dysfunction, Alzheimer's, brain dementia, whatever you want to call it. It's all pretty much the same.
Right.
And this is the interesting thing. There is a drug that sometimes works. Not on every dog, but when it does work, people said, oh, this is fantastic. You know, I want some for me when I get old. The problem is when you get old, you don't know that you've got Alzheimer's, and you won't remember to take the drug. But there is a drug, it's called Vivitonin in Australia, and we use that in any of the dogs that have cognitive dysfunction. The other thing I use is a herbal thing called valerian. Valerian is a sedative. I give it to them last thing at night. And would you believe valerian is used a lot in European nursing homes?
Well, valerian, is used a lot as a sleeping pill.
Yeah. And that's what it's used for in nursing homes, to help old people sleep, because older people get a bit anxious at night when it gets dark. And sometimes they'll wake up and feel anxious, where am I, whatever. But old people with Alzheimer's do not always get a good night's sleep. And giving them just something like this, which is not going to hurt them, it's just a very mild herbal sedative, with dogs, I find it does help them a lot. It lets them relax, and they seem to become a lot more cognitive during the day. So those two things we use, doesn't always work. We don't have the universal panacea for dementia or Alzheimer's yet, but we're working on it, and the veterinary profession is, you know, doing well in some of these areas.
Okay, so they do actually suffer from the same kind of symptoms that all of us will eventually, I guess, as we get older. It's interesting to know. But, you know, let's tackle the most difficult of subjects for any dog owner, and that is, how do you know when your beloved pet's quality of life is so bad that euthanasia is something you need to discuss? And I know lots of friends with dogs, and they just don't know when is that time, because it's such a emotionally powerful position to be in, to be the person who's about to decide whether your family member really lives or dies. And obviously, most times it's for the right reasons. But Rob, let's just talk about that. You must have people coming to you all the time asking that very question.
It's a constant question I get asked with owners of old dogs. And I have two, it's a two-part answer. The first part is always the same for me. Because you dare ask that question, when should I put my dog to sleep? You'll know in your heart when it's time. And I promise you that's true. To every listener of this podcast, I'll tell you now, you'll know when it's the right time for your dog. It's not a magic thing that happens. There are a few signs, however, that I do tell them to look out for. Firstly, can your dog get up to go and eat and drink? Can he get up to go outside to go to the bathroom, to use the bathroom? I'm not talking about urinary incontinence. We'll discuss that another time because there are things you can do with that. But I'm talking about laying in his bed, soiling himself both with feces and with urine, and he's losing his dignity. And I promise you, dogs hate losing their dignity. It's something they don't like. And if they can't go out to go to the toilet, they can't get up to properly go over and feed themselves and drink. Don't let them suffer anymore.
So dogs know themselves and feel themselves emotionally that this is not right and this is not good. And
I think dogs hate losing their dignity with old age when it happens like that. And they feel it's my time. I can't get up. I'm in pain. I'm suffering. That's why the dog can't get up. It's not just I am old and weak. It's I'm in pain with joints and things. Please don't let me suffer anymore. And Steve, we will post a on our Facebook page, some photos. We'll also post a poem written by a dog on this very subject.
Oh, good. Look out for
it's
that.
It's a very, very tough thing. But as I said, your dog will know, and just as importantly, you'll know in your heart that it's the right time.
It's a tough thing, but yeah, every dog owner at some stage will need to go through it.
Very, very hard.
Okay, so I imagine it's extremely difficult when a family or mum and dad come in with their dog and they're asking you, Rob, the question, what do you think? Is it time for me to put my family member down? You know, this a very important part of the family. Which puts the pressure on any vet, I'm guessing.
Very much. So it's a really tough thing for anyone to answer. And for me, I have to make sure it also sits well with the person, that they have closure on this whole topic at the end of the day. Because if they're not prepared for it, and I say, we've got to put the dog down, that's it, but they're not ready to do that and I do it, they'll be blaming themselves, they'll be blaming me, they'll be blaming everyone for why did I do it then? My answer is simply, has the dog still got its dignity? Is it able to go outside to go to the toilet? Can the dog get up to go and eat and drink? I don't mind if it's sleeping hours and hours on end. That's fine. But can it perform the normal body functions, for starters? Is the dog in pain? And then my final thing is, I say, if it were my dog, I think it's time. If it were my dog. I won't say you've got to do it, but I will also say, I understand if you're not ready, we can try some heavy doses of painkillers, some heavy anti-inflammatories, just to keep the dog as comfortable as possible until you realise that this is the way that we should go. I need for the people to accept that they are doing the right thing too, because we are taking a life, no matter what, and we're taking a life of, like you said, their beloved friend. And I remember the 19th of August, 1967. Most of you out there weren't even born then. That's when my dog was born. I've had hundreds of dogs since, I guess, and I will love them all. They're all different loves. But he was my first dog, and I've never forgotten him. And
was that Strauss?
That was Strauss. That was my German Shepherd, Strauss. Yes, yes. And he saw me through all my adolescent problems, helped me through university, and unfortunately, a new disease came out that got him, called Parvo. It was the year I graduated, and it was tough. You remember that. You remember all of that. And that's why I wanted to be the whole thing, the whole process, to be a good memory for other people, that they remember even the closure that they had to have with their dog was, yes, that was the right thing to do for that friend of mine at the time.
Now, for people out there who have got a dog and maybe haven't reached this stage before and haven't had to go through this, just briefly, if you can talk us through what's involved from your end.
Look, it's different for every veterinarian, I guess, but my younger veterinarians like to put a catheter into the vein of the dog to make sure that everything will go well, and that's a good thing to do. I like to, with little dogs, my clients know, I ask them into the surgery with their little dog, and they hold it while I put a mask on the face. It's just a gentle mask, and we flow anesthetic gases. I flow oxygen and nitrous oxide and a drug called Sevarain. It's very quick acting, and it just puts them into an anesthetic sleep.
So that the dog just goes to sleep?
Goes to sleep, and then I can give the injection that takes it through to its final stages. It's the demise of the body. The injection that all vets use is a concentrated version of a drug called phenobarbital. Phenobarbital is a very long-acting anesthetic. If you use it as an anesthetic, it's used as an anticonvulsant as well sometimes. But it's a very, it's 375 milligrams of drug in every mil. So we give that. It's always green. The reason I make it green is so you can never make a mistake. You do never want to make a mistake like that. You know, I always think it could be so easy to do if it was just the same colour as every other drug that's on the shelf. So this is a bright green colour, and you know that when you give this, you know what you're doing, why you're doing it. And you just give it intravenously, and the animal, the brain shuts down, everything shuts down, the heart stops, and there's no pain involved. The animal goes to sleep. There's no pain involved for the animal. Unfortunately, the pain for us really starts. It hurts. It does hurt. I'm not going to say to you there's a special magic bullet for you. You've got to go through the grief. You will go through the grief. But if there's one thing your dog could leave in a will, if your dog could write a will, there's one thing only. He said, I only own one thing, and that's this beautiful home that I've been given, this beautiful owners that I have, and I want the next dog to have that, because your dog wants you to go on. And you're not going to love the other dog more or less than your current dog. It's a different love.
So then most people would elect to, I guess, have their dog cremated and then do something special with their ashes?
You've got a few options. Some people will opt for a burial if they've got a large property. A lot of councils will say, no, it's illegal, but try and stop me if I've got my friend's body that I want to bury in my
How are they going to know? Yes.
Yeah, you got to, of course, dig the appropriate depth of hole if you want to do that. Not many people do that. Most people go for cremation and the return of the ashes. And one of the questions I always ask, how do I know it's my dog's ashes? And that's a fair question. The company that I've dealt with, there was this little dog, Stephen, it was a little whippet, broke its leg when it was young. I had to put a plate in it and screws. I love this little dog. Anyway, when its time came, we put to sleep and off the body went. They came back with the ashes and they said, we found these in the ashes. And it was the plate and the screws that I put in when it was young. So you do get very good companies that will always make sure they do the right thing and they guarantee it. Some places you can actually go and be there when it happens as well. You can deliver the body yourself if you wish. And you get the bodies back in various vessels that you might like. It can be a metal vessel, it can be ceramic, it can be a wooden box, or it could be a scatter box where the ashes are there so you can open it up and scatter it, the ashes, somewhere where the dog loves, be it a beach area or a particular park or just your backyard or wherever you want. And so there are methods of doing it. Of course, if you don't want the ashes back, that's okay. The bodies are still treated respectfully. They're often cremated en masse is the way to do it. But there should always be respect even afterwards.
So these are companies that specialise in cremation of
pets.
Dogs?
Pets.
Yeah, pets.
They'll do pets.
But is this just a general place that does cremations or places that specialise
in pets? Okay. And believe it or not, I've even had a few clients that have had horses cremated.
Right,
okay. It's not a cheap process because they're such large animals, but yes, you can have your pet done, and they do it respectfully for all pets. Birds, horses, have had fish done.
Fish, it's, yes, wow. Someone it's good to know
very,
anyway.
Very yeah. attached to it, but certainly your dogs are the most common of all.
Wow. Okay. Let's lighten. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's
Rob,
a bit heavy.
That.
A bit yeah, heavy.
Let's lighten things up a bit and just jump to our celebrity dog this week. We talked about earlier, is a Puggle. Puggle. A Puggle owned by actor Jake Gyllenhaal. He's been in lots of movies. You'd know him. You might not know the name, but you'd certainly recognise him. Rob, what the hell is a Puggle?
Yeah, well,
I've never heard of a Puggle before.
No, Puggles are not a purebred dog. It's not a registered breed of dog. It's a cross. Yeah, these breeds of various crosses, be they, let's start with the Labradoodle, which was a Labradoodle poodle cross. And because the oodle word, there'd been lots of oodles, cavoodles, and other oodles. And the Puggle is a takeoff on that. It's a pug crossed with a poodle. And
what, a miniature poodle?
Well, it would have to be either a miniature or a toy.
It would be a very weird coupling with a pug and a standard poodle.
I don't think that's going to be physically possible. It's going to be an artificial insemination if it's that. And I hope the mother is the standard poodle because a pug would have difficulty delivering
that. Oh, Rob,
that
let's
sort of
not
thing.
Go there. Yes, yeah. Okay.
So it's a cross between the two. And the issue is, of course, is they do have a lot of medical problems, unfortunately, because I guess the cross, you never know what you're going to get with it. When you start crossing breeds, you don't know what's going to come out the other yeah. end. And as delightful as a pug can be and a poodle can be, you don't know what sort of puppy you might end up with. One of the issues that I've had with a lot of the Puggles, that cross, have been knees. I've had to operate a lot of the knees. They end up with what's called luxating patellas. That's where the
you
knee...
You have talked about this lots.
Yeah, the knee dislocates, the kneecap dislocates inwards just as they walk along. And sometimes they'll try and skip and they'll try and do all sorts of things to try and get the kneecap back into place. And more often than not, it ends up with some pretty major surgery to reconstruct the knees. That's probably the biggest issue I see with them. The concern is that a lot of breeders that set out to do this do it for one reason alone, to sell puppies.
To make money, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're puppy farmers, and that can be a big issue in the dog world. I don't like puppy farmers. No one that loves dogs loves seeing dogs locked up and being bred from each season, every season. It is wrong to do that
well,
to
them. Well, it's not natural.
Yeah.
Okay, let's meet up with legendary sports commentator Ray Warren, who's also known as The Voice. He spent his life calling races, including a few Melbourne Cups. He's probably the greatest rugby league commentator of all time. In fact, he's been inducted into the Rugby League Hall of Fame, and he's even been awarded an Order of Australia. And no surprises, he's a committed dog lover, and earlier this week, Dr. Rob caught up with him.
So, your dogs, of course, have been, you know, part of the family. You say you have big backyard, but you have them inside too, don't you?
No, oh, I do. As a matter of fact, right now, Sheba, we lost Sheba about 3 or 4 or 5 months ago.
Yes.
And she was 17. But I'd gone out, commissioned by Cher and Holly, my wife and daughter, to buy a smaller dog, because Holly was trying to agitate for a big dog, and this is when we had only Sheba, and I went out and I viewed these dogs, and they were King Cavaliers or something like that, and I fell in love with one that had a turned foot, so that's the one I bought, so I brought it home, and when Sheba went, this little puppy had grown to believe that Sheba was her mother, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So now the little King Cavalier with the turned foot, she sleeps in the bedroom with me and Cher. She's got her own little bed here because she can't get over the loss of Sheba. But they're the things you do, I think. You know, some people sit back and say, yuck, and others think it's just second nature.
Of course, your wife's been a mountain of strength, I know, behind you in many ways, and especially with the animals. You know, she's there every minute of the way with you, with the animals, with the dogs and things, isn't she? shares.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. There's things she can do that I can't do. I've got to be honest with you. I'm a bit of a coward in many ways. But I've got a good vet, and he's saved a few of them. He's prolonged their life incredibly.
Happy to have helped you.
Sorry?
Happy to have helped you there, my friend.
No, you have. You have. I might as well name you. I mean, we appreciate what you've done. You've kept a couple of our pets alive. In fact, one of our little cats, a Siamese, we had. I don't know how you fix that. And all of those things, I remember them, just like the death of losing a human. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to overcolour it, but I have to tell you the truth, you know.
Yeah. So you've always preferred Kelpies because of your background, but your son has a Rottweiler?
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
And
you've taught them the love of animals the same as you have, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to understand I'm not anti any love of a dog that anybody has. As I've already said to you, I think there's an education in it, but I worry about those big dogs, particularly with little kids.
Yes.
They might know the adult master, but you get some little kid that irritates them and you don't know where it's going to. And I know my daughter, she wanted to get a pit bull come hell or high water, and that's where the little King Cavalier took over. I said, oh, you need a nice little puppy with a twisted foot.
I mean, you're quite correct. The statistics show that the dog most likely to bite a child is the parent's dog. So, and children under 12 should not be left unsupervised without adult supervision with a dog. It's because they'll get bitten, see? Quite correct. Ray, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so very much for agreeing to come on our show, The Doggy Pod.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, buddy.
Right, mate. Admire you.
Bye, mate.
Bye.
Anyway, let's get to the answer of our quiz question this week, which is, which dog breed has a black tongue? I didn't know any dog breed had a black tongue, but apparently one of these four does. Is it a husky, a poodle? I don't think it's a poodle because I've got a poodle cross, a Weimaraner, or a Chow Chow. Which one is it, Rob?
You know, it was bred with a black tongue because it looked a bit more ferocious as a guard dog. And no, it was not the Weimaraner. You're quite right. The husky, it is not. It's the Chow Chow. It's a Chinese breed. Yeah, Chinese breed. Bred for guarding and fighting and, dare I say it, eating at one stage as well, but which I really deplore.
Chow Chows aren't very big, are they?
Oh, yeah, they're a decent-sized dog. Okay. They're about roughly Labrador size.
And they've got a black tongue.
Very sturdy dog, very, very sturdy dog. Bred properly, they're very sound and sturdy and can do quite a bit of good guard work if they want to, yeah.
Okay, so a Chow Chow is a dog worth getting if you're...
Yeah, I mean, again, I always say make sure you meet the parents. Always know that the parents are sound because there are problems with every breed of dog, just like there are with every human. People think we're special, but humans have problems too when we have young, as we know, and same with dogs. You want to make sure that they start off with sound parents, and that's the best way of getting a sound dog.
And when we breed inappropriately... Yes.
Boy, oh boy, then we're in trouble, aren't we?
Anyway, that's it for us on the Doggy Pod this week. Thank you so much for listening. We really enjoy putting these shows together. We know, and it's nice to know that you're out there listening to us. Please subscribe and please feel free to share if you've enjoyed it. And we will see you on the Doggy Pod next week.
I will certainly be here next week. In the meantime, we will post that poem, If It Be That I Grow Old and Frail.
Go to our Facebook page, The Doggy Pod, and also follow us on Instagram as well, The Doggy Pod, obviously. And we look forward to banging on about dogs this time next week.
Well, that's all, folks.
Ever
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.